Welcome to Mastering the Attention Economy Podcast. I'm your host, Ari Lewis. Twice a week, we interview entrepreneurs, executives, and industry leaders on how to break through the noise and capture the audience's attention. Today's guest is Andrew Nemi. Andrew is a professional poker player and a successful YouTube vlogger. Thanks for coming on, Andrew.
Ari, how's it going? Good to be with you.
Andrew, thanks so much for jumping on today. Really appreciate it. Big fan of the podcast. Or I should say the YouTube channel, mixing the two up there. Been a subscriber for a while. First off, how did you get into, vlogging? What drew you to it?
Yeah, the main catalyst, the main influence for me that I always point to is a guy named Casey Neistat. So he was really the main inspiration for me, seeing him do his thing every single day for a good couple years straight, and also sort of explain the process along the way to his audience and really build a connection that way and do it in such a high quality manner. He just showed off the capabilities of YouTube and building an audience there. And for me personally, as a poker player, I was living in Las Vegas and playing poker full time for about 8 years before diving into YouTube. There was I like to say that there was like some external factors and internal factors. So externally, it seemed like maybe a little bit slow to catch up to that sort of a thing as far as new media. And also a lot of the media was focused on very high stakes games, very premier events, whether that's very expensive buy-in tournaments or very high stakes cash games. And there was a big audience, a big poker playing audience that I don't think was really captured and presented content to in a way that was like more relatable. So, the stakes that I was playing poker, much more reasonable stakes, and the poker pursuit was sort of, I want to say maybe a little bit lacking for me personally, as far as, when you go to play poker every day, you have an uptick or a downtick in your net worth. And, aside from that, you don't really have too much to show for it. So I sort of felt like there was a little bit of creativity that was lacking in the daily pursuit of poker. So all that mixed together, decided to throw my hat in the ring of YouTube and put a video together and see what happens.
Yeah. So, one of the things I really like about your channel that you touched on was sort of this identity with your audience that, they want to be regular poker players. Can you touch more on that authenticity aspect of like, I play 2-5 and Andrew plays 2-5. I can relate to that. Not the $100,000 buy-in tournament. Why is that so important in building the fans that you've built?
Yeah. Like I mentioned, a lot of the content that was being produced at the time, it was very, very high stakes centric. And I think those dollar amounts, they tend to get lost. The message tends to get lost a little bit. It's hard for the typical poker player or poker fan to really understand, how it's crazy. It's fun to think about and ponder what, wagering tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars on a single poker hand might mean. But it's hard to understand like what that might mean to that person who's playing, the person that they're watching. What does that mean to them? Like we really don't know where that person stands and what that dollar amount means to that person. So when I'm playing, in my videos, playing 2-5 or 5-10, we can talk about it in terms of like, well, that's gonna make the monthly nut a lot easier to pay, this good winning session, so people can sort of relate to that thing. And when it's the exact same stakes that a lot of people are playing, when I'm talking about a poker hand, it's they can imagine playing that hand as well in their local casino or at their home game. So when I'm walking through a hand, when you're talking about like a 1-2 or 2-5 or even a 5-10 hand, they can take something from that hand and maybe apply it to their game or the player pool that they're a part of.
So another thing that I really like about your channel is that these meetup games that you do, that you've sort of pioneered, how is it helped as well in meeting your fans in person? You know, how does that build on the relationship? Why is that important?
Yeah, so much of our time is, you know, before all this lockdown stuff happened, of course, but even before that, like, so much of our time is spent in front of the computer, and the way that we interact these days is through either comments or DMs or emails or things like that. It's all digital. A very big portion of it is digital. And to be able, and I think it comes back to, you know, the authenticity factor and being able to get face to face with someone. And, you know, you're, as mentioned, we're playing similar stakes as the audience is, to be able to move the audience and the discussion from just the digital platforms to face to face, and to have an actual interaction, to be able to like have that experience with people that are into the content, it makes for just a pretty fun experience, you know, for all of us, for both the people that come to the Meetup Games and play poker with me and my co-host Brad Owen, who's also a content creator, and so it's great fun for them, and it's fun for us, you know, it's to be able to host a game at a local casino and to be able to travel around and do that. It's kind of like part of the poker dream, you know, to make this part of your living.
You know, one of the things that I think is unique to the poker industry is sort of the dedication of the fans. I think that you have a really dedicated fan base, but at the same time, you know, that audience, it's hard to expand out of that niche, right? Like, you either know poker or you don't know poker. You know, how do you as a vlogger think about, okay, if I want to expand, and I know we've seen it with Doug Polk, who, for the listeners out there don't know, is another, you know, poker vlogger who's gotten into mainstream poker. How do you think about, you know, should I stick with my niche or expand outside of that?
Yeah, I think you know, you can, there's, you know, multiple approaches. I don't know which one is better personally, but I think the first question is, how much do you enjoy doing what you're doing and focusing on the current focus, right? So I think if you are enjoying it to some degree, hopefully to some reasonable degree, then going deep on that thing will be pretty rewarding. You know, in poker, when there's, you know, I kind of alluded to it before, where the industry landscape might be a little bit slower to catch up to trends. When you can be the first mover and when you can go really deep on that, I feel like it can be really rewarding as long as you are enjoying the process of it all. But if you have other interests that lie outside of that niche, then start. I think the advice would be to start dabbling in that thing and including it in the content. And I do have other interests. That's for sure. You know, there's themes in my videos, such as like favorite local bars and restaurants, whether that's in Vegas or checking out new spots when we're traveling. And so I try to incorporate that into the content fairly regularly. And I think that there's a pretty decent chance that the content will continue to spin off in a direction such as that.
Yeah, I always enjoy your drone videos when you post them.
Love the drone. I mean, that's my favorite. That's my favorite as well. You know, if you find a track that just matches perfectly, a music track, that's gold right there.
So when did you know that, you know, the vlog went from, oh, this is just something fun, to, you know, this is a potential, you know, income source besides poker?
I think, you know, when I started the vlogs, you know, mentioned Casey Neistat, maybe one or two other guys I was watching. It was mainstream content that I was watching. And so I knew that, like, you know, these guys were building huge audiences, you know, so like, I don't know, Neistat has like over 10 million subscribers now, which is probably unattainable, almost certainly in poker. But I did know that the poker audience is, it's a small audience relatively, but it's a very passionate audience. And so they're very much into consuming a lot of content, sharing content, whether, you know, that's strategy content or gossipy type content or news or what have you. So the poker audience is really eager to consume as much of that as they can. And I just, you know, you just sort of like put all this together and realize, you know, the power of YouTube as a distribution platform. And you just know that like if this goes well, then there will be some opportunities there. And there's some different ways to go about monetizing it, you know. So the YouTube revenue is, you know, kind of like level one. But as mentioned, since it's a smaller audience, those numbers are going to be smaller. But then there's, you know, different things that you can sort of tack on to that when you start talking about, like, you know, merch sales, you know, selling T-shirts and hats and doing things like hosting meetup games to different affiliates deals. You know, there's ways to make it work. And this is like the new sort of business model that a lot of people should be paying attention to.
Yeah, and I love the favorable merchandise.
Thanks, man. That's the work of Boosie, my partner. She's the design queen and sources everything, and the quality of that is all due to her skills.
Got it. So give a shout out to her and tell her I like it a lot. So we'll do. You know, you talked about YouTube as a distribution channel. You know, what risks are there for content creators on, you know, focusing on one channel? A lot of these content creators, you know, favor YouTube because it's the only, or I should say the best platform for monetization. But we've seen with a lot of poker players that they've been demonetized because of, you know, links. Do you get worried about that? You know, how do you try to diversify away from that?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern when you are on somebody else's platform and relying on that. That's always a concern. So it's like, you know, very big pros and very big cons to that sort of a thing. It's, as mentioned, the best distribution model for an individual creator when you're creating this type of content. You know, the related videos has brought who knows countless numbers of people into my channel. And then, as you mentioned, then when they decide that, say they'd think you're creating some sort of content that might go against their terms of service, then they can pull it down or put strikes on your channel or even take your entire channel down. So yeah, there's a lot of concerns there. It's just kind of an ongoing thing. And I do think it's important to kind of like build reliance on yourself, you know, rather than just this one platform. So I feel like if worst came to worst and YouTube wasn't available to me, I feel like I would be able to get the word out through Instagram and Twitter and, you know, friends channels and things like that, that I would be, you know, working on a project on TikTok or starting a blog or, you know, something like that, whatever I felt like, or, you know, starting posting videos on my own website. That might make a lot more sense than TikTok, who knows. But I feel like, you know, as long as you're building value that revolves around you rather than just the platform of YouTube, and you're delivering value, and that comes like from such a unique spot, which is your own, then I think you can, be able to survive such a turbulent event as getting your channel deleted, as crappy as that would be.
By the time we post this, TikTok might actually be banned in the United States, depending on.
You never know.
What Trump says.
But, you never know. So it's probably good to have your own home base. So arielewis.com. I don't know if that's taken, probably is, but might be the spot to really, you know, lock some people into that and to have them showing up on a regular basis.
Actually, yeah, I have a whole website, and for the listeners out there, visit it and subscribe to the newsletter. But,
nice.
You know, so on that note, you know, I watch your YouTube videos a lot, and there's common themes in them. With Twitter and with Instagram, you know, is it more like intentional with your strategy, or is it just, oh, I feel like posting this? You know, how do you think about those strategies and attracting attention for your audience and making sure that they're paying attention there?
Yeah, I always think that it should be more intentional than what I'm doing. Because I think I kind of go on a whim a little bit. I don't have like a regular posting schedule on Twitter or Instagram. I've always said we need to get a whiteboard in this apartment and, you know, build out a grid and say, and check all the boxes, you know, one a day, at least, you know, put some sort of micro content up on one of those things. I think that's probably smart to do. I think that's the way to do it. But for whatever reason, I'm more of like a feel guy. I just kind of like when I'm inspired, then I post something or I post a picture or whatever. And I think that you can maybe like get that sort of a sense when you watch my content. You know, my stuff has, you know, like a little bit more of the creative stuff in it. You mentioned the drone. I spend maybe more time on average trying to find a music track that goes well with the particular video and different scenes and stuff. So I like I lean a little bit on the creative side, maybe more than like some other creators who are you know, more hand heavy, more poker hand heavy than they put in their stuff. And that probably reflects more on like the whims of my posting on the other platforms.
So, you know, you've mentioned other poker vloggers, but then you also talked about, you know, Casey Neistat, who has a more mainstream vlog. Do you see a lot of professions going the way of, instead of, you know, being employed? And I know with poker players, they were always independent, so they, you know, weren't necessarily employed. But do you see it going the way of people are going to, oh, I'm going to create a vlog and try to become this independent content creator versus, you know, working for someone? Do you see more and more people doing that in adjacent fields?
I think it's, you know, I speak from experience and from testing this thing out, but I think, in my opinion, it's such a no-brainer to get out there and like whatever your medium of choice is, whether that's writing or photos or video blogs. I think it's such a no-brainer to be doing this sort of a thing. Whether you're an employee or you run a business or what have you, you know, independent contractor, I think it replaces the resume in such a big way and makes you stand out in such a big way. And it does a lot of the work for you in terms of sharing that resume. As mentioned, the related videos thing has brought who knows how many people into my channel. So, you know, I think you can apply the sort of formula that I put into my videos to where you are sharing insight into the thing that you've been doing and delivering value and building an audience and using that to reach, you know, whether it's new customers or a potential employer, or people that you want to work with, other businesses that you want to work with, you know, all sorts of things. So to me, I would highly recommend getting out there and doing some creative work.
And I guess, yeah, on that note, you know, what would you recommend as just like an easy way for people to start? Like, you know, what trends should they be looking for, right? You mentioned all this high quality content, but there was no one doing the everyday poker life. You know, what would someone in maybe an adjacent field be thinking about as, you know, a way to spot a trend or types of content to put out?
I mean, I would start with just searching what's available in the field that you're in, you know, just like doing a, you know, going on YouTube and seeing what people are watching and seeing if there's a unique way or like a unique perspective that you could bring into that field based on what you've lived through and like what services and what value you can deliver. And as far as trends, I'm not sure, but I mean, you know, you could just search for what's trending on YouTube and see what people like to watch, or, you know, what creators have lots of followers and things like that. But, you know, you don't necessarily need to just do what they're doing. You know, I think you can, if you think that you have a unique perspective on literally any field that you're in, or it doesn't even have to be like, you know, something that's so groundbreaking. You don't really have to reinvent the wheel. You just kind of have to get out there and, you know, maybe start local. And if nobody is doing what you're doing, or if you're doing it somewhat differently, you know, I think you just get out there and go from there.
Yeah, that's great advice. So, you know, as we wrap up, you know, where can people follow you on social media? Where can they buy your merchandise?
Yeah, the main hub is the YouTube channel. So it's youtube.com/AndrewNeamy. And then Twitter is also Andrew Neamy. Instagram is YAY Andrew, which is a little strange of a name, but that's what it is. And favorableapparel.com is the way to support the vlog via some fresh threads.
Yeah, and the links will be on iTunes and in the YouTube channels. Thanks so much again, Andrew, for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Sure thing. All right. Thanks for having me.